What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live, the Built for Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It's been mostly Mets this morning because of, it was just one of those really, really bad losses. If you're going to like rank top five worst losses for the Mets all year, I mean, this is right up there. I mean, it just, to, especially how it happened, when it happened, you know, the circumstances around it, finally feeling like they had broken out of this malaise, celebrating Pete, up 6-0 on the Braves and then gone. So it's been mostly that, but you know, obviously the Yankees last night, another, I mean, they beat up on the Twins. They always beat up on the Twins. This was an annoying loss for them. No offense. Obviously the bullpen situation, striking again, trying to figure out who the right combination is. Yeah, I'm so done with this guy in this situation, that guy in that situation. It's all on the manager. It's all on the manager. That's why I haven't sat here and criticized Boone today or Carlos Mendoza today. It's just like, I've just seen so much slop from these teams, you know, out of the bullpen, especially with the Mets starting rotation. And it's like, I can't, you know, it's like one of these things where it's like you give a chef, you know, grade D ingredients. He's not going to give you a grade A meal all the time.
The thing that would concern, I'll tell you what concerns me more so with the Yankees, because we talked a lot about the Mets today, is assuming the Yankees get to the postseason, which I fully expect them to, and same with the Mets, even with how bad it's been, and I know both teams are kind of teetering right now with where they are in the wild card standings as well, but I do think both of them will get there. If you watched last night's game with the Twins, a team they always beat, and they all have owned them for years and years and years, that's the game last night, though, that reminds you of the postseason. They run up against a good pitcher. Joe Ryan last night just dominated them. I mean, at times was toying with them. He had the slider going, the fastball. He's blowing by them. That's it may not be the Yankees' best lineup, but you got a lot of stars in that lineup last night, and they did nothing. And the biggest issue the Yankees have had in the postseason the last several years has been they get to the playoffs, they don't hit, aside from Stanton and Soto last year for sure, and they did get to the World Series, so I don't want to make it like they never win a series, but they come up short a lot because they get shut down by good pitching. Last night was almost a microcosm of their postseason issues that they've had over the last 10 years or so, and a game like that concerns me because it was there for the taking. It's 1-1, middle innings, you're going for the sweep, you're finally feeling good about yourself. And they, I mean, not only they lost the lead, it was 1-0, but they never built on it. They never had a threat, really, the rest of the game. At least you could make the case with the Mets, as embarrassing as last night was. And it was embarrassing. You go up 9 runs to the Nacho Alvarez and the Braves. Good Lord. But at least the Mets put some guys on and had some opportunities to kind of drive. The Yankees did it. Anytime they get a guy on, double play inning over. It was just nothing for the last 5 innings of that game. And that would concern me last night if I'm a Yankee fan from that standpoint.
Well, yes, especially when you're seeing it here. But, I mean, if they went into the postseason mashing and were the most impressive offensive team in September, I would still be concerned about their offense in October. Fair. And Aaron Judge, because it's just a different animal. So, but you're right. I mean, this is a, you know, deja vu all over again type of situation with them against good pitching. And you just expect at this point that Aaron Judge, unless he shows you that he's going to carry his team offensively in the postseason, he's not going to be the same player in a regular season.
Well, we also went through that with A-Rod, too, until he did carry them in 09.
Barry Bonds, by the way,
for
too.
For sure. Yeah.
I mean, before, you know, that he was a miserable postseason player.
No question. But it only takes one, and you just, you know, and you know, Judge did have some big at-bats last postseason. I know if you want to look in totality, it wasn't a great postseason, but did have some big at-bats. It's not like he did nothing last, but you are right. He needs to go out there and have a full stretch of games in October where he bats 400 and puts the team on his back and they win series that they otherwise would not have.
Yes. If the Yankees make the playoffs but don't advance, is that still an Aaron Boone changing of the guard situation?
No. Did they not just sign him to an extension
last year? Yeah.
4 years?
I think if they miss the playoffs.
I don't think so.
I really don't.
You think if they missed the playoffs, he's back 2 out of the last 3 years?
Logically, yes. You think Hal Steinbrenner is going to eat that contract?
I mean, it doesn't count against the balance tax.
I know it doesn't.
I'm aware.
You're still paying a guy for...
I think it'll be so loud. If they miss the playoffs, it'll be so loud that he's got to think about business at that point.
Yeah, I suppose. I could see it already, though. Well, we didn't have a Garrett Cole for almost the entire season.
Oh, well, that's what's going to happen if they make the playoffs.
And Aaron Judge got hurt in the middle of the year.
And we made the playoffs. We still made the playoffs, and we still, you know, won a game or whatever.
We were in the World Series last year. We did win the pennant.
Yeah.
Like, there are things you can point to. I'm not saying I would do this, but there are things you can point to if you like the manager that you're going to keep him. And Brian Cashman seems to have a lifetime contract. And I'm not one of these guys that thinks Cashman should be fired because he makes a lot of moves that I like, quite frankly. I thought what he did at the trade deadline made sense. Now, might have made a lot of moves, but he was active and he was aggressive and he did everything the fans wanted him to do, he did. And what has happened? You got guys hurt all over the place, and I'm not making excuses for them. Those are facts. But interesting, if they missed the playoffs, it's funny. I wasn't processing what you said. I actually thought you meant if they went out early in the playoffs. If they missed the playoffs...
That's 2 out of 3 years.
And that would be a complete collapse from where they were with a 5-6-7 game lead atop the AL East in July. Yeah, that would be interesting.
I think he would have to go at that point.
Just don't see him eating the contract.
Yeah, but, I mean, you could make a case that if you bring him back, that the fan base is going to be, like, so annoyed that you might even lose more season ticket subscriptions or something like that, or it's just not going to be the same. Like, you can't, I just don't know if you can be so stale and weird. And
that's the word right there, would be stale.
Yeah, I mean, the fans don't like that. Yankee fans would be pissed. All right, so we're talking about, CeeLo actually brought it up, the potential of someone else writing Down Goes Straw on that ball. And Katie from Staten Island is joining us to talk about that. Katie, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning, guys. Welcome back. I'm glad you're back.
Thank you.
Before I get to my point on the bowl, I just want to say I'll be golfing with CeeLo and JJ on Monday. I'm looking forward to it.
You won the thank you for the auction. Yeah. That's awesome. Appreciate it.
Keith Hannon actually did it for me, and I stink, but I'm still looking forward to it.
Guy's amazing. He's a great guy. Best guy ever.
He really is, man. Wow.
Super guy.
Well, I look forward to seeing you Monday.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to it. Big fan of you guys.
Great, thank you.
Don't expect anything good on the course, but that's another
story. Okay. Just have fun. Just have fun.
Yeah. So anyway, my point about the ball is, and listen, I'm a Met hater, actively root against them, so I'm not trying to defend Pete Alonso, but I'm a huge, gigantic Yankee fan. And when my older kids had their first birthday going back 20 years ago, my father was a sports writer, and he wanted to get them a ball from Jeter for their first birthday. And all that. And so I know for a fact the equipment guy is the guy who wrote Happy Birthday, Michael, Happy Birthday, Lily. And then Jeter just signed it. So I have a feeling that's what happened with this ball.
It's possible. It's very possible.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that Katie had a definitive answer on that, the way that it was written in the topic section on the Cole screener. I mean, it's possible, but like, don't they, like with footballs, I feel like they'll like write like a Post-it note or something on it, or like a piece of tape. That's what they'll do. Is they'll put a piece of tape over it and write on the tape what it is, and then you do it permanently. So that just would be it would be an odd thing for an equipment manager to write that much on a ball that he didn't hit.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no knowledge of how they do it. I do see from time to time we've had some good seats, and we've been fortunate enough to do that from time to time. We have seen where the equipment manager takes it and will mark the ball for whatever. That seems like a lot, but I don't know. Definitively, I have no idea.
Yeah, I'd love to know. I mean, they're going to have to go back and look at Pete Alonso's handwriting samples.
Yes.
Figure that out.
Now we need a handwriting expert.
Forensic handwriting expert. Let's go to Chris in L.A. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Chris?
Hey, I just wanted to comment on this Mets situation. You know, these guys that are panicking, it's like, come on, it's the middle of August. You know, I was a little bummed out with that 7th loss in a row. They bounced back, and the situation up 6-0, blow another game. But, and then look at these Yankee fans. You know, I'm out here in L.A. right now, right next to Sherman Oaks Notre Dame High School, where Giancarlo Stanton went. Another guy by the name of Tim Foley, the overall number one pick with the Mets in 69. Blackjack McDowell, Neil Diamond, and Larry King opened up the stadium, swinging Sweet Caroline. Hey, things will get better. I can't wait to tell JR Sports Brief that the Mets and the Yankees are going to play in the Subway Series. Just watch. It's just going to work.
I mean, I don't know.
It sounds like he listens to JR on the Infinity Sports Network, and he's going to call him and talk some baseball.
I mean, no, what it sounded like is like how many bizarre names can you fit into one phone call? It's like someone gave him the task of, can you fit all of these names into this one phone call?
Yeah.
Barry Manilow, JR Sport Brief, Tim Foley.
Tim Foley was a good one.
Giancarlo Stanton. He was another one in there. It was like, hey, call Boomer and Geo and try to get these 15 names in. And if you do it, I don't know.
Neil Diamond.
That's right. I don't know if he said Barry Manilow. He said definitely said Neil Diamond. Wow.
That was a lot.
I mean, I couldn't.
I like that he's so positive. So I didn't hear the Barry Manilow reference because I was looking at I was curious from before. We were talking about how bad they've been.
Yeah.
And I know he's positive and they're going to be fine. Okay. This is a pretty big sample size, though, when you look at this. If you go back to when they were 45 and 24, that's a pretty good record. 45 and 24. We don't know, right? We both agree?
Yeah.
That's June 12th. Since then, 19 and 32. And if you take out the 7-game winning streak, 12 and 32.
Mm.
That is some garbage baseball. Like 12, again, I know you can't take the 7-game winning streak out. I know that. But
they're 20 games under 500 without that.
There's not many teams that play, and 20 games under 500 in a span of 44 games. That's atrocious.
So speaking of the Infinity Sports Network for a second, because you mentioned JR Sport Brief, I guess they did a draft of all-time talent at CBS Sports Radio / Infinity
Sports.
Where'd
you finish?
So I was taken fourth overall.
Okay. Yeah, were you and Brian Jones a package deal?
No. No. So there's some people that I take some exception to here.
All right. Is Jim Rome number one?
No. Jim Rome was taken at number 11.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I guess because he didn't work here. He worked there, but he wasn't in the building.
Okay. So, how about Tierney, Dana, and Tiki?
So Tiki was three.
Okay.
By Bilotti, but Bilotti loves Tiki. Like, he worked with Tiki for a long time, loves him. Now Pete did take me at number four, so I appreciate that. But, you know, I should be three, but that's okay, Pete. And then, Pat Boyle, who, I mean, I understand he worked with DA for a little bit,
yeah.
But has anybody supported Pat Boyle more than this show? He's got Damon. He took Damon, DA, at number two overall.
My guess would be that's because Pat's been doing it for like a week.
What do you mean? He's been doing what for a week?
Oh, you're saying Pat Boyle took Damon?
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah. So Pat Boyle took Damon.
I thought you were saying someone didn't take Pat Boyle. They took Damon instead. I see what you're saying.
So the number one overall pick, which I cannot...
Who had it?
...complain about. Bogish had it.
All right, number one overall pick, Infinity Sports Radio. I don't even know. I don't even know.
Brian Jones.
Oh, okay.
Which I love.
So Gio and Jones have two of the top four picks.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
See, but I just look like a complete dweeb. I look like an absolute loser.
The problem I have with that draft, though, is to me, you and Brian Jones should be a package deal.
Yeah.
It's the show.
I guess.
Personally. So really, Gio and Jones came out number one.
Oh, well, no, I appreciate that. That's good. And then Pat Boyle took DA at two. He was there longer. You know, I mean, if you want to put that. But Brian was there. Brian was there longer, too, because he did that show with Chris Moore. So he was there longer than I was. Tiki, three, me, four, Zach Gelb, five. I will say, out of all the people on here, I have the highest ranking with the shortest amount of time there.
Okay.
I was only there for 3 years doing a show. Yeah.
The other guys are compilers. You're not.
Yeah. Just, you know, exactly. I'm sort of like, Gale Sayers.
What's the oldest, the oldest reference there?
Would be Dana Jacobson.
Okay. Where'd she go?
15th, which is the last pick.
Where'd Bill Ryder go?
He's not in here. Is he still
on? No one picked Bill Ryder?
No one picked
Bill
Ryder.
Who's his producer? Isn't it Ryan Hickey?
I don't know.
Does Ryan not have a pick?
No, it was Bogish, Pat Boyle, and Pete were the three people that picked.
Oh, okay.
So Perloff's not in there. Maggie's 12. BT, 10.
That's kind of absolutely cooked.
That's kind of awkward, isn't it?
It's very awkward, actually. Like,
now every time Andrew goes in there and Maggie and Perloff are 12th and 15th.
Yeah, Bogus at least selected Maggie at number 12.
The 12?
Yeah, he picked...
Could you imagine if we did this and I picked Boomer 12?
Yeah, but he 15? Also worked with all these other people. Like, he worked with... You got to remember, that's been a revolving door.
Recency bias, G. Recency bias.
I guess, yeah. But, like, he worked and he took... So this was Bogus's. He had the number one overall pick. He took Brian Jones. Then he had the sixth pick, because it was snake draft. He took John Feinstein. Then the seventh pick, he took Pat McAfee. So...
I had no idea Pat McAfee was on that network.
He was
when
for
was
like,
that?
He was there for like a
brief simulcast.
Yeah. Oh, that doesn't count. That shouldn't count.
That Gio Jones painting is amazing. Oh, I love that thing. It's so stupid, but it's great. Look how fat my fingers are.
A fan do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I know. It's very good. It's just funny, you know? Especially with my hand is hilarious. It looks like Chubbs Peterson's hand.
I didn't know you were a Happy Gilmore.
Yeah. All right.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Thursday morning. Boomer out the rest of the week. Jerry and I will be in here tomorrow, presumably with CeeLo again. Yes, Chris?
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, so same crew tomorrow.
Stuck with me on Monday as well.
All right.
Sorry.
Can carpool out to Marlboro?
That's very true.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to think. I'll probably... Yeah, I gotta think logistics there.
You gonna
Jerry.
Stay somewhere Monday night?
Probably, because that's a long, 1 o'clock.
I would.
It's a long day. I know.
Maybe in this, come back in the city at least, but halfway.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like I can't like, I feel weird asking Boomer to stay, but then when he asks me to stay, but like then I like can't wait too long because then the hotels are gone.
I would just ask him.
I can't do that.
You can't. Want me to ask him?
What to stay like with him?
Yeah.
Why can't you ask? You've not done that before.
Yeah. No, I don't ask.
All right, then.
If he asks me, then,
I hear you.
Works out.
He stayed at your home?
No. If he asks me, hey, why don't you stay? It's a shorter drive
for you.
Okay,
I see what you're saying.
Then I'm like,
picturing
fine.
Picturing Boomer shacking up at the Giannotti's.
No. There may be a time after golf somewhere out east, maybe, but probably not. But I'm saying, like, if he says, hey, listen, it's a shorter drive for you. If you stay with me, I'm driving.
Extends the invite.
Then I'm like, okay. Sure. But I don't like, hey, you mind if I crash? Mm-hmm. Even after 8 years, it just doesn't feel right.
I get
to
that.
Ask.
And you just spend a lot of time together.
We do.
In California.
Yes.
Plus, he's not here. He's coming back from his own trip.
Oh, that's true, too.
There's a lot of factors to play here.
Let's get the hotel.
Yeah.
Let's just do that.
I'd get on about it.
And then why don't you stay with me? Are you an idiot? All right, CeeLo, what's going on?
Exactly how it would go, too.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It'd be like first thing Monday morning.
Yep.
Yeah, why'd you
all
do
right,
that?
Sponsored by Primo Brands, the official water sponsor of MLB. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Also brought to you by Flag and Anthem, real clothes for real life. Baseball's depressing. I know you guys don't really want to hear about that. I'll just give you one little nugget. So the Mets have received just under 600 innings from their starting pitchers this season, which is 27th in the majors. Not great. But at one point, they were doing better since June 13th, so exactly 2 months. They are dead last in that category.
I'm sure they are.
So it's been 2 months of just nonsense, and we'll see if Kodai Senga can improve upon that tonight when he pitches the rubber game against the Braves at 7:10. It's on Odyssey Mets Radio off of that awful loss last night where they blew a 6-0 lead after a couple of innings, that 9-run fourth for Atlanta against the combination of David Peterson and Reed Garrett. Yankees have the day off after they failed to complete the sweep of the Twins, losing at the stadium 4-1. They will begin a series with the Cardinals in St. St. Louis tomorrow night. David Wright called a hot take, but a bit of an interesting take as part of the Mets pod from SNY that dropped yesterday. Here it was.
It's been debated on this show. It's been thrown to guests, and we're going to have you settle it once and for all. Because
all right, there's a lot of pressure on me right now.
Yeah, it is. But you get to settle it because you actually wore the uniforms. What's the best Mets uniform?
Oh, man, this is such a hot topic. So, for one, I can't stand the pinstripes.
That shocks me.
That's my least favorite uniform that we ever wore.
Now, in this clip, they didn't follow up on that. Maybe they did later because I'd like to hear his more expanded thoughts on that. But he did follow up then with the combination that he did like most.
I love a color contrast. So, this is probably a twofold. I really liked the home white pants with the black tops. And I love the road gray bottoms with the blue tops. Those are probably my two favorite uniform combinations.
So very non-traditional. Very different. Now, Fleegs pointed out during the main part of his run with the Mets, that was more what they were wearing rather than the home pinstripe look. But Howie Rose was a little heartbroken because he's become an excellent follow on Twitter. There's like nothing that gets past him. He was tweeting mid-game during the Alonso record breaker the other night about Keith Rad's call on Mets radio. So he just quote tweeted it and said, "Please, please, please tell me this is AI." So he's very upset that
it's not AI.
Knocked the
I always liked the solid
stripes.
White Met uniforms.
Yeah, I like that.
Thought those were really good.
I mean, I've always liked the road grays. I don't know.
It's what my memories are of the good teams. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like I loved the black uniforms because they were good in 99 and 2000. Yeah. And I just remember great moments with them wearing them. Same thing with that stupid ass song I always talk about. Who Let the Dogs Out? When I hear that, it makes me happy. Right? It's so dumb and horrible of a song as it is. They just associate a lot of good times with that.
And that was when you were going out to Shea a lot.
All the time.
Yep.
You just said stupid ass. You remember that viral clip of, I think it was Hal McCray back in the day, the manager.
Absolutely.
Stu asking me these stupid ass questions. And he rips the phone out of the wall.
That's right. He's sitting at his desk and they have this thing clubhouse.
Yeah, he throws the media out.
Yep. Oh, it's just a great awesome. One. I mean, those manager meltdowns are the best.
They are.
Yes. I mean, when I first started working here and someone played me the uncut Lee Alia rant, it was one of the best days of my life.
I actually enjoyed bleeping those out.
Yeah.
Because it takes a long time. I get great joy than playing it.
It's sometimes better bleeped.
Sometimes.
Somehow.
Sometimes.
I never had heard that before, the Lee Alia rant, and I got here. It was like probably like third or fourth day as an intern. Like, I think Rob Exesa played me this.
Oh,
and I was like, that is the greatest piece of audio I've ever heard. I mean, I just recited it for weeks and months and years.
That's when you were
rip
like,
them!
This is the greatest job I could ever have.
Yeah.
That's where you were at then.
I can't even, the best parts I can't even say.
You know? That's what makes it great.
Yeah.
You know?
Lazy ass M bleeper.
Right.
Don't even have 75. Jobs.
75% of the world's working. The other 25 come out here.
Gio, you said something earlier this morning when you were recapping the Pebble Beach trip and the infamous par 3 seventh hole that triggered something in my mind. Just a little quick refresher here.
Of course, seven is in my head. Everybody, you know, I've been thinking about it all the time. And it crept up on me quick. And you're thinking, how could that happen, that it creeps up on you quick? It's seven. You know how to count, right? So seven comes after six.
Now, first of all, this from my movie quote Rolodex, which I actually just used recently, so it was on the forefront of my mind.
Whoa! No, no, not six. I said seven. Nobody's coming up with six. Seven's the key number here. Think about it.
7 minute abs, something about Mary. Now, also from this, Brian Daboll post-game Saturday, which you guys probably missed after Giants-Bills preseason action. So I played this earlier in the week for C-Mac and Willie Colon, and they had no idea. So we'll try you guys now. As Daboll was talking about the performance of Jackson Dart in his pro debut, and specifically how Dart addressed his own performance on the sideline.
Whatever mid, what's mid now mean? That was mid. That was his response. I said, let's you know, he's pretty hard on himself. I'll say that. You got to ask him about what mid means. Six, seven.
All right, that last part there. Either
6-7 rating out of 10, maybe very mid performance average.
That's what I thought. I was going to say the same thing.
But you're not aware this is like a thing right now. Like
no
a TikTok trend meme.
No, I know a lot of TikTok trends.
Do.
I don't know 6-7.
That's why I asked you, because my kids has bled into my kids say it now, and I'm
6-7.
Yeah, like what is this?
So
like,
what is it?
I guess it. Long story short, the reference is like nothing. Pretty much, basically, just an annoying thing that kids are saying in schools, and it's driving teachers crazy and all that. But I guess it originally stems from a Skrilla song, which features the recurring lyric 6'7", which may or may not refer to LaMelo Ball's height. The long story short is it's a dumb thing that is taken off.
Yeah.
So the original meaning is irrelevant. It's just something that kids are saying now. So Dable slipped it in there. No one from the media reacted or thought anything of it. It went viral. So then when he did the Zoom call the next day, they followed up with him.
Are you aware that you set the social media ablaze by dropping a 6'7" that none of us who were you were talking to even knew what you were talking about?
Yeah, I didn't think you guys would know.
We didn't. Oh. No, we didn't. We needed social media to tell us. Is that something you picked up from Dart or from your kids?
My kids.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah, Dave will slip in the TikTok meme thing.
We're going to have fun with it, Bri. Jesus, man. I mean, I understand. Like he has a little more fun with us at the training camp. For God's sakes.
He's in mid-season
form.
He
was probably tired. They got back late. I'm sure he was up all night breaking down
the
film.
But he started that.
Yeah. No, he did. But it was two separate days is what I'm saying.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, by the time they got back
to him
the next day.
But if they're going to have a follow-up.
He's probably like,
they scored some points in Buffalo.
Enough
things were good.
Already. He was ready to move on, you know?
I'm trying to think. Like, the crashing out is a term that I've heard a ton now.
Yeah, these kids
TikTok like, crashing out.
We got football now with my 9-year-old. The kid's just out on the field randomly. Just be like 6'7". I'm like, what? What is that?
Yeah, it has. There's no way because you have boys. But this, what are they called? Demon Hunters or whatever is this thing on Netflix?
K-pop Demon Hunters.
Boys. You tell me this is a girl's thing. Demon Hunters.
No, it's a girl's thing because it's a girl group that like hunts these demons.
It's a K-pop group.
Okay. Yeah, so, right.
That's exactly what the name says.
Huh. Yeah, and they...
Of course, Leagues knows.
So, like, there's, like, a thing, you know, amongst Sabrina's friends, and then she had to watch it, and she's 7, and it's... I feel like it's more for, like, 10, but it's not... There's nothing controversial in it. It's just...
Okay.
But, but those songs now are on the freaking, like, actual radio, because I'll still sometimes listen to, like, terrestrial music radio, which I know sounds crazy, but I do. And like they're play like a couple of the stations were playing this. Mm. I'm like, come on!
Is Pink Pony Club like all the fad in your house?
Well, it was
all the rage.
Yeah,
old now.
Yeah,
that's
we moved
news?
On from okay. that now. Yeah,
how long did that last? A couple weeks?
So a month and a half,
month
2 months.
Half. All right,
6, 7.
Who's that?
That was dog.
Yeah.
Oh,
duh. Yeah.
Silly me.
I mean the Chapel Roan thing was like two songs that I love there. You know, that the Giver, which is a great song. And then when Pink Pony Club was everywhere because the girls loved it.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was like, okay, now we're done with
moving
that.
On. Fair
enough. We've moved on.
All right, let's move on to Taylor Swift breaking the internet, social media, YouTube, with this two-hour appearance with the Kelce Brothers on their New Heights podcast, which included a raging full-minute introduction from Jason. Here was the tail end of it.
Making your podcast a debut, the most offensive guest in the history of shows, Taylor Swift!
That intro, Jason. He's oh my God.
I've seen this before.
No, look, his soul has left his body.
I'm cramping.
No, that was so good. Thank you.
All right, genesis of her relationship with Travis and back when it was a public plea from him to simply get her attention.
It was such a wild romantic gesture to just be like, I want to date you. This kind of felt more like I was in an 80s John Hughes movie and he was just like standing outside of my window with a boombox just being like, I want to date you. Do you want to go on a date with me? I made you a friendship bracelet. Do you want to date me?
Just come outside and meet me.
So usually that doesn't work for a man, but in this case it did. And she found it very appealing.
This is sort of what I've been writing songs about wanting to happen to me since I was a teenager. Yeah,
I give the heirs to her credit.
Yeah?
I give the heirs to her credit because if I would have never gone to that show and been mesmerized and just been captivated and then left with such a desire to want to meet you, I would have never went on here and told everybody
how butthurt I was. Why is there a cocktail piano player playing in the background?
I'm not really sure. That's bizarre. Where we're at. Says they were just next to each other and waxing poetic about each other and just loving each other up. And then listen to her last one describe what Travis is really like in her eyes.
He's just a vibe booster in everyone's life that he's in. He's like a human exclamation point. Like, you know, he's like when you take a picture on your phone and you put the like...
you push the enhance color button.
Yeah.
That's like what you that's do to everyone's life.
That's why when I text,
life.
I just, I'm always exclamation.
So I use so many more exclamation points.
It's a little nauseating.
Yeah, I mean, for I'm sure for the female Swiftie fans.
Or the male Swiftie fans, yeah, right. including the one on the other side of the glass.
Right, they absolutely love this. She deserves this. We love to see her happy, all that stuff. For like any well-adjusted man in their 40s, it's basically the neurovirus. You know,
I couldn't believe it.
Mike, can you tell me how many views that video has right now? I'm very curious, because between that podcast does well on its own, then you throw her into it.
You're going to say 6 million already.
Well, he told me last hour on the live stream on YouTube, within 15 minutes, it was like a million and
a half. I was going to say 25 million views.
Already? Wow.
Only because
9.3.
Okay. Right.
It was what,
a little less than I thought, more than you thought. Okay.
So we're at 14 hours and change, 15 hours or so. Not bad.
That's a lot more than the golf video I put together that has 200 views.
Just a tad.
Well, how about, do you watch that old Grant Horvat on YouTube golf?
I know, I should. You've recommended it.
They do this thing. So Grant Horvat and the Bryan brothers do this thing where they do, like, it's called the Major Cut Series. So they'll go to the place where a major happened. They have the leaderboard up, and they see if they can make the cut.
Sure.
So they were just at Pebble, like, a week before we were.
Okay.
And the caddy.
Guess who caddied?
Your guy?
Yeah, Grant Horvat. Caddy, or Grant Horvat's caddy during that was my caddy
during this thing.
Okay. And I was like,
I thought you were going to say you're a caddy because you liked your guy so much.
No, I did. Rich was great, but he had
Chris, this guy Chris. So we had the caddy. So it was awesome because I got to talk to him about the production and everything else. But I kept like apologizing to him. Like, I'm sorry, man. Like, I'm not like a plus three like Grant is.
Yeah.
But it was good. Like, he actually, you know, told me a couple things, and you know, he wasn't overbearing. He was like, hey man, he's like, that was, your form was good there, but just aim that way. I don't know what you're doing. And like, he was just awesome. And
I'm sure they get all different skill levels out there.
He told me that, yeah, he's seen some horrible golf to the point where he wanted to like just jump in the ocean
and drown.
Yeah, right.
Because
yeah.
You're stuck out there for 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, no, he was, but it was so cool. I guess he's like their guy that they like. He probably should have been assigned to Boomer instead of me, but
I think it's neat though that you had him
because I could appreciate.
Correct.
It.
Yeah,
you know, I was like, how were those guys? Did they do this? Did they do that? What was it like?
Absolutely.
Do you think he was just shining on to get better tip?
What's that?
Do you think he was just shining you on to get a better tip?
No, not at all.
No, it would never happen.
No, he wasn't. I could tell. He didn't care. He was just a normal guy. He was going to get the same tip no matter what, unless he was horrible.
Right.
They always, you know, it's like a standard thing.
And by the way, both days under 4 hours.
It's pretty good.
It's very good. Especially they told us, you know, keep it under 5 hours. Yeah. I think we killed it.
And he never said that I was playing well. He was just talking about the fact that because I asked him, I was like, what was like the worst round you'd seen and the best round you'd seen? It was not in relation to how I was playing.
And I had the same conversation with my guy.
Yeah, right. It wasn't like that. He was, you know, he was helping. But there wasn't something else before Eddie chimed in with this whole thing. There's no way he could possibly like you because you were paying him. How could he like you? You suck at golf. Your personality sucks. He's just there to get paid from you. Never mind. Whatever.
What else you got? Maybe it'll come to you. What else you got? As I do moment of the day, maybe it'll come to you while we're listening back to that. So Pete Alonso goes with the down goes Straw inscription on his record-breaking ball. At least it seems that way. We got a caller suggestion mixed in here. And then at the back end, Eddie and Gio's ear comparing Jerry to a notoriously less popular but current member of the Mets. Here's all of that. In one nice package for you.
Forget about the steroids for a second. Imagine Mark McGwire signing his home run ball, and it's saying, down goes Raj, when he broke the record, or Barry Bonds, down goes Hank.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I mean, it sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, no, but that's him. But you know why? It's him. He's a goofball, and that's silly. It's actually got Pete Alonso written all over it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a goofball, but I guess he's like a big dumb animal, you know?
I kind of like a big teddy bear.
Let's go to Jimmy in Manalapan. What's going on, Jimmy?
He could have made it even worse by saying, suck it, Straw. A little play on words.
Now that would have bothered, all jokes aside, me. Down goes Straw. He beat him. Suck it, Straw. Yeah. That would be a problem for me.
Up yours.
And disrespectful.
Up yours, Daryl.
You're right. Now you're hitting on something.
It's not like a cross the line thing. It's something I don't think you're going to like. And he wants me to say.
Okay.
He thinks that you're our Jeff McNeil.
Oh, yeah, fine. I haven't heard that before.
Is Jerry our Jeff McNeil? Getting the job done, but sort of a bitch about it.
F you, you pig.
Welcome back, Jerry. Hope you enjoyed your escape from reality for a couple of days.
I'm good.
Yeah.
It was, leaving there and knowing we were going to be on the air, like, the next day. That was a smack right in the face.
Sure.
You're right back at it.
Yeah. Not much time. Alan and Boomer got some time. We did not.
Mm. Which is fine.
Yes.
I actually feel okay.
And a nice 90-minute delay on the plane after you land for...
That was
a little bonus.
With lightning strikes everywhere, rumbling thunder, wind sweep. And it was the plane at one point was shaking with the wind. It was pretty wild, actually.
Welcome home.
Here we are.
Yep.
It hadn't rained in like God knows how long, too, right? And all of a sudden.
We're lucky we landed right before that.
Yeah.
Because I think we would have been circling for 90 minutes above the clouds, right?
Would you not agree? About what time was this?
Depending on how much fuel we had,
Well, that... That happened going to Florida on my 40th birthday trip, going down to Miami. There was a thunderstorm that did not move. Like, I was looking at it on the radar. It didn't move. It just sat there on Miami, and they shut down the entire airport.
Yeah.
So we're circling, and then they're like, we're running out of fuel, so we got to land in Fort Myers, which is across the state, you know? And then we had to land there, refuel, thunderstorm. It took 7 hours to get there.
So we got very lucky. Even though we sat on the plane, we were lucky.
Mm.
Wasn't that big a deal.
All right, CeeLo. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Have you watched any of Hard Knocks yet? I have not. I'm going to start watching it this week. I think I'm going to start watching it this week. But, like, I don't know. Am I sports documentaried out?
I am hard knocked out.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to the Jerry Jones documentary next week that comes out because I feel like that's a little different than what we've seen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess you probably have to be a Cowboys fan to enjoy it, I think.
No.
But I think if you're a football fan, kind of going all the way back and some of the interviews that supposedly they have seem pretty good. And I don't know. That I'm looking forward to. Hard Knocks, I try.
So I watched the whole first season of Quarterback and I loved it. I haven't missed a Hard Knocks season ever for the training camp ones. But then when Wide Receiver came out, I never watched it.
Even with Justin Jefferson?
Didn't watch it.
Interesting, okay.
And then the latest Quarterback I haven't watched.
Mm.
And I haven't started, I've been busy, but I haven't started this Hard Knocks yet.
I started this one, this Quarterback one. I watched the first episode and parts of the second one, and I just lost interest.
Yeah.
I think there's it's too not that much. It's not well done. It's well done.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they are. I think it's too much access.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Like it used to be, like Hard Knocks used to be very special in the fact that you never saw any of it.
For sure.
Behind the scenes. And the guys getting cut, conversations, the laughing during practice, all that stuff. And then like that got old because it felt like it was the same thing every team.
There's a formula to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, now I'm just like, I feel like I've seen everything.
I'll give you something very cool that's coming out that I read. I think this is real. I don't think this was made up. And Steven or Andrew, whoever's there, can back me up on this. It looks like they're going to be doing a 50-year anniversary of the NFL Today with Brent Musburger.
Wow.
On CBS. That's, now, this is Al's dream because you're going back to the early 80s.
Yeah.
And you are looking live at Soldier Field in Chicago. I mean, that's really cool. So that I'm looking forward to, but I think I forget what week they're doing, maybe week 3 or week 4, something like that. That's cool coming up.
Wow, so they're actually going to do it like during the...
Were you guys there when he was there, Andrew or Steven?
They're not paying attention in the back there, so I mean, Eddie's gone and Fleet.
Never mind. It's fine. It's okay. It doesn't matter.
I was just about to leave, actually.
What? Hello?
Say that again, Steven.
I was just about to leave, actually.
Oh, well, you made it to 56 after. Pretty good.
The Brent Musburger, is that, do you know what week that is going to be on CBS?
Week three.
Okay, and he's a part of this, yes? What I read was correct.
Yes,
that's kind of cool.
Who else is a part of it there, Steven?
That's all I know right now.
Okay. That's fine. Right. That's the big one, though, because that voice was iconic back in the day.
Of course.
So I'm looking at that. That's not a
doc. Got the 1975 version of NFL Today.
They're going to use all the graphics, right?
With Brent, Irv, and Phyllis.
Okay. I can't hear them. I gotcha.
Brent, Irv, and Phyllis, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. There you go. That was a little... See, to me, that's before my time.
The NFL, to really?
1975?
Well, yeah, but me too. I was born in 74.
Yeah.
But Brent Musburger in the NFL Today in the 80s was...
Still.
Amazing.
Still.
Like, I used to look forward to...
Yeah, they're going
to
have retro graphics and retro music and make it look like 1975.
Now, when I watched it, it would come on, and Eddie can back me up on this... It would come up with, they would give you the live shot of the stadium and the biggest games, and that was the voice, was Brent. And it was like, it would get you, because there wasn't access to the games like we have now.
Right.
That was all you saw, and it was awesome.
Having too much access has ruined everything.
Well, in some
nothing
cases,
special anymore, Jerry.
Correct.
God damn it.
Well, you need to curse or swear, but yes.
Yeah, all right.
That is true.